It's my fantastic pleasure and privilege to welcome Graham again, Graham Watts, to come and share with us this morning. Yeah, give Graham a big hand. Many of you will know Graham and his wife, Sammy. They are the team vicars of St. Mary's Marlow Bottom. So as Anthony said, they're our local vicars, keeping us in line. They are also our very, very near neighbours. They've got three great children. I think I remember about, so you sent us about 4.5 years ago when you came to Marlow Bottom. And I think we were meeting in the ORC. So welcome Dave Jones at the back there. I think. So I'm sure I remember you both came to one of a meeting quite early on when you joined, to come and share. So it's really great to have Graham with us. We had Sammy with us last year. And just they've been such a blessing to us personally, to Anthony and I, as friends and encouragers. But also the great work they are doing in Marlow Bottom, the church there called The Lantern, the plant that they've done, and just the ways that the Holy Spirit has moved and is changing Marlow Bottom for Jesus. Graham also is a governor at Burford School, so he's very involved in the local community. He's also a Liverpool fan, but his dad's a gooner, so that's okay, isn't it? Okay, let's pray for Graham. Holy Spirit, we do thank you for Graham, for all that you've made him to be, for the calling that you've put on his life, for all that you've put inside of him, particularly his passion and his compassion. Lord, that he's someone who really does care and expresses that care in the way that he goes about his life. So we do pray, Holy Spirit, that you would open up our hearts, our minds, our ears, to really listen to what you are going to say through Graham this morning. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Paul and Anthea, for your invite. It's lovely to be back here. It's great to look around and know some of you, but it's great to look around and not know a lot of you as well. Just that the church is growing, the church is big, and that's marvellous. I want to just give a special shout out. I just felt like it was the right thing to do to Pete here. Because I know Pete, because Pete has been leading the churches together in Marlow for the last 4 years. He's just stepped down. And thank you, River Church, for letting us as Marlow churches enjoy his leadership and experience. It has been marvellous. And the best thing about it has been meeting once a month at his house for lunch. No, seriously, with the other clergy. It's amazing the power of generous hospitality in bringing people together in love, bringing people in love who all love Jesus and want to see his name proclaimed in Marlow and Marlow Bottom and all around. And Pete's been a great part in that. So thank you, Pete, and thank you, River, for letting us have him. And if you can pray for someone to replace him, that would be great. Shall we open the Bible together? We're going to look at Luke chapter 19 and beginning at verse 28, because being an Anglican in the Church of England 1 week before Easter, I get some thumbs up, that's brilliant. 1 week before Easter, this is where we would be in our churches around the country on Palm Sunday, what we call Palm Sunday, for those of you I can't remember, was it Johnny I was talking to about palm crosses earlier? Oh, sorry. About how we turn them into swords when we get them as kids in Sunday school. And what a great illustration that is. Luke chapter 19, verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you. And as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are untying it, tell him the Lord needs it." Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they'd seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." I'm going to talk about three different headings that hopefully might, for those of you who like words, might make it slightly more memorable or easy to remember when you're talking about it over lunchtime. But we're going to look at believing in Jesus, the King. We're going to talk about becoming like Jesus, the King. And we're going to talk about behaving like Jesus, the King. Believing in Jesus, the King, becoming like Jesus, the King, and behaving like Jesus, the King. That's where we're going over the next 25 minutes or so. Now, those are three very simple headings. They're three simple headings that really every sermon should at least be helping us with, to believe in Jesus, become like Jesus, and behave like Jesus. But it helps us hold on to the passage and also helps you know when I've nearly finished. So let's start when we look at believing in Jesus, the King. Believing in Jesus, the King. It's certainly what his disciples were doing on this day. You see verse 37, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise the Lord. And they, as Jesus was on this colt, this donkey that was coming along, they were there praising him in public, shouting his name and using the words of Psalm 118 and of and saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And in fact, they've changed it slightly, because it's in the psalm, it says, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Here, they recognize exactly who Jesus is, God's Messiah, God's King. So blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. And you know how they know that? They know that because of the miracles they've seen him do, the teaching they've seen him do, and because they know the scriptures. The scriptures, even those little verses back in the Old Testament, like Zechariah 9:9, that says the King will come, God's chosen one, will come riding on a donkey. The King will come riding on a donkey. The King who will bring peace, and the King who will be praised. The King who will bring peace and the King who will be praised. God's King is coming that we may believe in him. The King is coming riding on a donkey. Children and hobbits tend to ride on a donkey. So what is going on here? Well, the picture is one that a lot of the crowd would have been aware of, because when kings or rulers or Caesar or military commanders would ride into a city at those times, they would come in a procession. They would come riding on, not on a donkey, but on a war horse. There would be shouts, often forced shouts of praise and well done to these people as they came riding in majesty and splendor into the city. But the King is coming now riding on a donkey. Because that's what God's King rides on. An unridden colt, so the Old Testament says. And this king, this different sort of king, is going to bring a different sort of kingdom. And there's so much more to it, but one part of that kingdom that we heard as the reading got towards the end is a kingdom of judgment for those who reject the king. And Jesus wept over Jerusalem because he knew that that first stage of judgment was coming on Jerusalem just those few years later, when the Roman soldiers did indeed build an embankment against them and encircle them and hem them in on every side, and they were dashed to the ground. That is the king who we are called to believe in. Now, if you want to read one or get one sort of reference book on Luke's gospel, just to help you understand different bits, I would go for this one, Luke for Everyone by Tom Wright. It's an absolute corker. And it's so good, I'm being lazy and I'm going to read you a paragraph from it just to help explain this little bit that we're talking about here. And he says this: as we arrive at Jerusalem with Jesus, the question presses upon us. Are we going along for the trip in the hope that Jesus will fulfill some of our hopes and desires? Are we ready to sing a psalm of praise, but only as long as Jesus seems to be doing what we want? The long and dusty pilgrim way of our lives gives most of us plenty of time to sort out our motives for following Jesus in the first place. Are we ready not only to spread our cloaks on the road in front of him to do the showy and flamboyant thing, but also now to follow him into trouble, controversy, trial, and death? Are we ready to make Jesus king of our lives? Now, my daughter, who comes here to Great Marlow, will tell you, I am not that, and she'll rejoice in telling you and moan about it, that I'm not that techie, okay? I've got a flip phone, for those of you who know phones. And so rather than go PowerPoint today, I've gone old school and got flip chart. I've gone flip chart. Can everyone see the house that I've built on there? Do we believe in Jesus the King? Have we made Jesus the King of our lives? So the house there, that take that as our life, okay? Take that as our life. Those of you who can't see it right on the edge, it's got a cellar, it's got a kitchen, it's got a lounge, a bedroom and a study. So take that to be our lives. And let's ask ourselves, is Jesus king of each room in our house? Okay, is Jesus king of each room in our house? Is he king of the kitchen? Is he lord over our family and all that goes on in our family? Now, for some of us, that will be easier than others, depending on the faith, where people are on their faith journey within our families. But wherever the rest of our family are at, we are called to make Jesus king in our family life, in our social life, in our lounge, the way we behave in our social lives, the people we behave with, the people we are with. Do we make Jesus king in our social lives? Do we make Jesus king of our work, thinking of our study? Is Jesus king there? Do we honour him in our workplace? Do we serve our fellow employees or the people that we manage? Do we honour our bosses in the way that Jesus would? Do we work hard or do we steal time from our employers? Do we make Jesus king? Do we know that Jesus is king in our workplace? In our bedroom, in our private lives, in our relationships, in our intimate relationships, is Jesus king? Is Jesus king? But also in the bits that nobody sees, the hidden bits down in the cellar, is Jesus king of our lives? Is Jesus king of our lives? Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Jesus brings peace. If you even you had only known on this day what would bring bring you peace. Peace isn't the absence of war. It is the wholeness of relationship and welfare for all the people that comes from enjoying the rule of God, not the rule of Rome. You see, we will find peace. Jesus will bring peace to all of these rooms in our lives. Deep, joyful peace when we make him king of those places. Because Jesus offers more. Jesus offers more. So let us believe in Jesus the King and make him King of all our life. But let us also become like Jesus the King. As I've said, that type of parade that Jesus was involved in was culturally appropriate for the time. But Jesus didn't ride a war horse, he rode a pony. Jesus didn't fit into the world's categories. Instead, he actually offered more. He offered more. He offered majesty and humility. He was both the lion and the lamb. He brought both justice and grace. He was sovereign, but he submitted to the will of his Father. He was all sufficient in himself and of himself, yet he was totally dependent on his Father. All of those traits were in Jesus. But in Jesus, the result of these extremes of character is not mental or emotional breakdown, but Jesus' personality is complete and beautiful and whole. Watch this mighty king ride a little donkey into Jerusalem and deal with what he finds there. Jesus went to the cross where power and weakness meet. Do we need to recalibrate who Jesus is today? Let me illustrate. I need two volunteers actually to help me. People who can stand and hold. If you feel that's your gifting, standing and holding, then maybe you could come and help me. No one feels cool to stand and hold. Brilliant, thanks guys. Actually, because I've got a microphone, I need a third volunteer. Someone who can stand and hold and move. Anyway, oh, brilliant, thank you. So if you just stand in the middle there with an arrow, and what have we got? We've got majesty. Can you see that majesty down there? And sorry, do you feel unaffirmed? I do apologise. Yes, well, I don't know. I think you can see it. Can you see? Splendid. Ali, you're fine. You're fine. They can see. Okay, so we've got majesty down that end. We've got humility down that end. And we've got a movable arrow. So who is Jesus? Humility. Who is Jesus? Humility. Did you hear that? Humility, you tall person. Have a little humility. So majesty and humility. Where is Jesus? He's right smack bang in the middle, in balance. Now, I haven't written all these different ones out, but lion and the lamb, those are the images that Jesus, are both given to Jesus throughout the New Testament. Justice and grace. Where is Jesus? You see, justice and grace, is Jesus for you all about justice, whether that's sort of social justice? Is it all about justice, as in those people who have done wrong should get their just deserves? And Jesus will bring judgment. Judgment on those who didn't give him a cup of water when he asked for it. When a thirsty person asked for it, because that would have been like giving it to Jesus. He will bring justice. But because of his death on the cross, he shows amazing grace. So, sorry, you just need to move up and down, you see. So do you need to move this way in your relationship with Jesus and see more of the grace side? Or do you need to move this way and see more of the justice side? Do you need to see Jesus as the one who reigns on every square inch of this ground and so see his majesty and his sovereignty and be more up that end? Because actually life at the moment feels like he doesn't, but let us encourage each other that he does rule on every corner, in every workplace, in every home, in every neighborhood and community. He does rule, but he serves. Come down this end. He serves in every community through you and me and his people. He didn't come to lord it over, but to serve. So do we need to see more of the servant Jesus? Are we all about his power and authority and not enough about his servants? Thanks, guys. Just sit down now. That's brill. But where are you? Where do you need to move to? Where do we need to recalibrate to? Because if we get it wrong, we can't relate to him properly. We can't relate to him properly. So how do we become more like Jesus in this way? Well, we need to spend time with the man. We need to spend time with him. If you come and spend time with my family, you'll know what we're like. So please don't come. And actually, if you come and live with us, you might even become like us. You might even become like us. Because the people we spend time with are the people we become like. So let us spend time with Jesus. What are you going to do this week? Some of you might call it Holy Week. Some of you might call it Monday to Friday. I don't know. As we head towards Easter, why don't you read a gospel this week? Read the whole life of Jesus. I mean, maybe read two. But each day, take time in your Bibles to read about Jesus and who he was and spend time with him. Now, some of you might do that all the time anyway. Great. But perhaps particularly this week, as we're thinking about becoming more like Jesus by spending time with him, let's go into a gospel. If you want a short one, try Mark. If you want one that's harder, that needs more thinking about, try John. Otherwise, hey, just go with Luke like we are this morning. Spend time with Jesus in his word. I know it's simple. For those of you who've been a Christian many years, pray and read your Bible. Hopefully you've heard time and time again. But that's because it works. It makes us more like Jesus. If we're praying for the things of the day, and we're reading and applying what we're reading to our lives. So let's believe in Jesus the King. Let's become like Jesus the King. And let's behave like Jesus the King. The way Jesus rode into Jerusalem was an unmistakable claim to be the Messiah. That's why the Pharisees said, Jesus, shut them up. They can't be doing that. And Jesus says, sorry guys, if they didn't, the stones would. Not talking about the rolling stones, but just literally the stones. Unmistakable claim. Riding so publicly into the city where he was wanted by the authorities was truly an act of courage. Was truly an act of courage. So as we think about behaving like Jesus the King, we could go anywhere with that this morning, but let's go to courage. Let's go to courage. I told you I'm old school. I got books rather than videos or blogs or things just to recommend, but two I'm going to recommend. One is this one, Honest Evangelism by Rico Tice. Part of the reason I'm recommending both these books is look how big they are. And they've got big words and huge margins. It's marvellous. Very down to earth. Very straight talking about evangelism and how we can do it. Really encourage you on that one. Also this one, Take Heart by a chap called Matt Chandler. He's American, but don't let that hold you back. Well, I don't know if he's a lovely fellow at all. He's a good preacher. I've listened to some of his sermons online. But really good book, starting with, so what's it like for a Christian in the 21st century? telling us not to get downhearted, but take heart. Not a reference to the children's TV program of the 80s, but to take heart and to have courage as we live for Jesus in the 21st century. And both Tice and Chandler talk about courage, starting with recognizing God's sovereignty. So going back to that point, that God is in charge. God is in charge now and for eternity. And there's so many layers within just that truth that can help us to give us courage that God is in charge. God wins. Jesus wins. I've overused this illustration, so some of you may well have heard it before. But just to please Paul and any other Arsenal fans, in 1998, Arsenal won the double. It was the last game of the season. They were playing Everton and they'd already won the league. And Tony Adams, one of the most unskillful football players to ever grace the Premier League, scored the third goal with about a few minutes to go. It was awesome. His centre-back, he played a lovely 1-2 with somebody. He controlled it on his chest and left-footed, in his right foot, left-footed, put it from the edge of the box into the corner. It was an amazing goal. How could someone that unskillful do something like that? Because he'd already won. Because he'd already won. They'd already won the game. They'd already won the league. And the freedom that brought was amazing. Well, look, guys, Jesus has already won. Jesus has already won. He won on the cross. He won in the resurrection. And the victory is won. And if we know that, if we know his sovereignty as king, because the victory is won, then it can free us to do the equivalent of a left-footed volley from a centre-back who can't play football. It's incredible to know that where that courage can come from by knowing the sovereignty of God. But also, it's not just courage, it's calling that we behave like Jesus. Jesus knew what he was called to do, and he got on that donkey and he did it. He faced death. The story of Esther in the Bible is brilliant for that phrase, for such a time as this. Both Tice and Chandler talk about how you, when you go, wherever you go to tomorrow, you will sit opposite people who God has put you there for such a time as this. It's not an accident that you are there. God knows that you are there. God has placed you there to live for him. To look those people in the eye, knowing that Jesus is king and that he loves them and that you are there for them. I've taken two guys from Marlow Bottom, from the church there, Rob and Henry. I've been reading this book with this term. We met together three times. I guess I've never been in a book club before, but you would almost call it a book club. We split the book into three. We read a few chapters. We met and we talked about it, but did it three times. On one occasion, we prayed. On each occasion, we prayed for each other for courage at the end of it. And Rob came back the next time and said the day after, I think it was the first time we'd met, actually, the day after, he and two or three people from his business were meeting a client. And they had a meeting in a restaurant or cafe or something. And just as the client was getting up to go, Rob noticed that she had a cross around her neck. And he remembered what we'd been reading, and he remembered the prayers of the night before. And he went, "I'm going to say something." And he said, "Ah, I see you're wearing a cross." It's funny that me and my mate and the vicar were just talking about that last night. And she went, "Oh, it's just a piece of jewellery," and left. He turned and sat back with his colleagues, and they were looking at him in that sort of, "What?" sort of way. He said, "What? You met with the vicar last night?" And so began a conversation about his faith. Now, none of them suddenly believed in Jesus and gave their lives to him and knelt on the floor and prayed or anything like that. But he took a swallow and he went for it. because of the courage that God had given him. And we pray for those guys each time we get together now, because the Lord is working through Rob in them. So Rob's courage to do that came from knowing that Jesus wins, that he is called to that place by God, to that workplace, to those people. And probably I just want to add that he had mates around him who were praying for him in that situation. So let us behave like Jesus the King in the courage that we have to live for him. The courage that we have to live for him. So look, believing in Jesus the King, becoming like Jesus the King, behaving like Jesus the King. We're going to pray now. Maybe we need to pray because there is a room in your life that you know that Jesus isn't King of. And you know because you are not experiencing the peace of God in that area of life. The wholeness of relationship and welfare that comes from enjoying the rule of God in that place. Maybe you need to get some prayer for that. And maybe it's a bit of confession you need to do. Maybe it's just a bit of help that you need. Maybe you need to pray for a better understanding of who Jesus is. That you know you can almost see him as your best mate, as your partner. But maybe you need to see him a bit more as king. Or maybe he is that scary king and you need to see him a bit more as your partner, as your friend. But maybe we need some particular courage today. Maybe we need some courage. Courage to speak out. Courage to face whatever it is down, like Jesus did as he rode into Jerusalem. Maybe we need courage. If you would like some prayer in Jesus' name, in the power of the Holy Spirit, for any of those things, I wonder if you would just stand now. Guys, there's some people standing. I'd love it if you would pray for them. Maybe just where you're sitting, reach a hand out and pray. Maybe gather around and lay a hand on. I'm told that you guys do this quite a lot and you know what you're doing, especially in terms of appropriateness and that sort of thing. So let us just do some praying. As they're doing that, the band are going to lead us in a song that we may worship the Lord, and that our words of worship may just wash over those who are being prayed for. So let us worship together.